In fact, I was just recently talking to Keshav Bharati Maharaj, because it's a question that I think about quite often, because I'm constantly faced, seeing it all the time. People, especially cancer. Cancer is like, it's like, must be the disease of Kali Yuga. It's almost like people's demons eating people up. Their whole karma coming out in the form of their own bodily cells, eating them up. And that when people have it, but what they decide to do, whether they decide to take chemotherapy, whether they decide to go in for sometimes very debilitating treatment. Ask Keshav Bharati Maharaj, if you had cancer, what would you do? He said nothing. He said his mother had what's the one where you get dementia?
Alzheimer's.
But she wouldn't take any treatment. He said, I just accept it. And I'm curious to see. I think about that myself. What would I do?
It's very difficult.
Prabhupada's ultimate decision was he entertained all the physicians who came and told him that he didn't take anything. And his sickness wasn't even something that's necessarily terminal. It could have been treated. He could have went into hospital for treatment.
Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is a recent...
Who?
Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj is a recent, because he had his melanoma on his leg. And, he must have gone through so many, but he then actually chose to have the amputation. Even though it's a...
definitely going to spread, and it wasn't so clear as yet whether it had, but if you didn't, that it was. It's a decision to take. Like, do you want to, is there so much to live for?
With patience, it's
for devotees.
We came close to it because Pundarik Prabhu went and had endoscopy recently, and we discussed these things anyway because
He had endoscopy for.
For dysphagia, for difficulty swallowing, and acidity as well. And although on the whole we both knew that it was probably something acid-related, both of us were not naive completely to know that people our age sometimes are not fortunate and they will get something that causes something like a cancer. So at the point of him accepting that he needed to go and see his doctor and then go to be referred, for this to have a definitive diagnosis or a non-diagnosis, then these are the questions we were both also talking about. We also came to the conclusion that really you don't know until at every stage you have as much information as you can have what you will decide, because life is so precious, not just for you yourself, but all your dependents and what you're doing. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada or Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, they must have work so much for those who are around. And I see that with patients, they don't just make decisions for themselves. They're always thinking about others. And that sways the decision.
For me, I realize that if I have to make this decision, I have to make it on a very selfish basis. And I think that's what Prabhupada did also. Because, there wasn't any question that any disciple wanted Prabhupada to do anything else other than stay. But he didn't stay.
Srila Prabhupada had like breathing problems and renal problems at the end, right?
Renal problems, which, if he was willing to go to a hospital and get treatment, you'd know more. But from my understanding, it wasn't untreated. Prabhupada wasn't willing to go to a hospital. He was just, he didn't want to be there. Disciples, just in terms of, others, disciples are never going to want to let their guru go. The question is whether the guru wants to sit, lay infirm, even alive, on a bed, who knows in what condition, just because the disciple wants to stay. I don't think ultimately you're going to make decisions for others. Prabhupada said, I'm a freedom lover. It was, you know, like hell for him. You know, he was just traveling around the world, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's got to lie on a bed. And to do, to what? Because devotees don't want him to go, but what's he doing? He was young, 82 years old. He's relatively young, especially for someone who lived like Prabhupada, who lived a life free of any bad habits. And, you know, usually sadhus go on in their 90s or 100. Or,
but by then, Srila
Prabhupada... I certainly wouldn't choose like that. I wouldn't leave it up to disciples. They're not going to tell me to go. But at a certain point, when I feel, if I have the choice, that I'm just being... I'm dysfunctional. I'm not achieving any particular purpose. Why is life valuable? Life is always there. The soul is eternal. So it's no question of not living. Just a question of which body you're living in. And you're a devotee. If you're a devotee in this life, then you're a devotee in next life, either somewhere else or there. So there's nothing to be lost.
In a better body.
And when you can't even serve, just to be sick, maybe at a certain stage, and for Prabhupada, his sickness was a lesson, it was instructive, but then at a certain point, all right, you know, the message is there, but for how long? And there was this other sannyasi, I forget his name, who was Prabhupada's disciple in Vrindavan, that was 2 years ago, and he had some kind of cancer. He just more or less fasted to death. He didn't need a drink. Gave up his body. Like a yogi. One of our sannyasis, Indian sannyasis. Namadamara. I'm not sure. Anyway, he decided, that's really taking it into your hands. One thing to die natural is something else. And Prabhupada more or less did that. He was completely monk. And he just
ladies in Gujarat, and they were talking like this, that they have seen in their life examples where the old people know that it's time to go and they know how to do it. And this old man who was her father-in-law, he just decided that he was going to take rest at night under this big tree in the chalk in a lot of houses share common area. So under the tree is like this platform, and people would sit there to talk and so on. So at night he would sleep there. for the last few days, and then people would insist you come inside, and you know you're not very well, and so on and so on. Very old. He said, no, this is where I want to sleep. So then in the morning when they went, he was gone.
So I was just I was speaking with someone who was telling me a similar story. Their father had just said that tomorrow I'm leaving my body at this particular time. They went. Prabhupada's father was like that. Prabhupada's father called Prabhupada back from Bombay, I think, where he was, and told him, you know, invite the Gaudiya Math, have a program, give a donation of cow, something else. Prabhupada asked him, want anything else? So just hold heart, just hold kirtan at night, in the morning, pass away.
Yeah, they have this knowledge, the art of dying.
Yeah. Although my sense is that as Kali Yuga progresses and as people become more sinful, they don't get the right, they lose the right for something like that. They don't get the, because it's a privilege. It's karma. It's good karma to be able to actually determine your death, to actually know at the time of your death, like Bhishma Day.
Yeah, special.
To do like that. But if people live more pious life, and they'll have that type of awareness.
We have some patients like that, David Attenborough, which was that he knew exactly what to do, and he declined all this treatment intervention and stood the test of time and behaved in such a way that it didn't warrant any emergency care or intervention. You know, he held it together. The patient has to do that, because other people flap around so much.
The other people find it difficult to deal with that. But, I mean, the other people in the care process. Because the doctor is now a smaller and smaller part of the care process. So a lot of this care now is done by nursing teams, and particularly Macmillan nurses in the UK, the cancer specialist nurses. So our role has changed in the 25 years we've been in practice and become a much smaller role. So it's actually getting more difficult to positively influence somebody's departure, because we're having to work with other people, and those people don't share our paradigm, and they actually, worse than that, they impose their paradigm onto the patient.
I think that's one of the reasons Prabhupada didn't want to go to hospital.
The patient,
he didn't want to fall under at that time just the mindset of a doctor and whatever medical profession had in mind for sick people. He wanted to be able to determine for himself what to do, or in fact he'd rather preferred to die under his own control than even live under someone else's control, under someone else's values, because that was in keeping with Prabhupada's own values and what he believed in. And I think that was also one of the messages that Prabhupada was giving to the devotees.
His body in his sleep. Manjwali, Radhakanta Prabhu's wife.
Oh.
she said, oh, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. You know what she meant was that he just left in his sleep, because he was sleeping, and then when they came, he'd gone.
That's why I say Krishna's not sentimental. He doesn't care whether you're saying goodbye or not, because best to just, you just have to leave it. And better that you're not being distracted by your wife and children at the time of death.
She doesn't have to think that he was sleeping, because he could be in really good consciousness and fully awake, isn't it?
It was like when I had, when we had Pavani here, and I don't know if you knew her at all, but she was from Debrecen. She was like 50-something, and she had really bad stomach cancer, and the doctor opened her up and closed her back and said, I can't do anything anymore. And she died in 2 weeks. But then she was there, she stayed here, and she's Sanatan's mother. And she lived in the house, and you know, they got that little girl who's there, the blonde girl who's playing when we're coming by, that's Sanatan's daughter. And so she was there, and then I told her, listen, you're staying in this house, don't think of them anymore as, you know, your son, and your granddaughter, and your daughter-in-law, they're just like devotees, don't get distracted. And she really switched. They said that, you know, she really switched, and she looked.
I think I met her just after she'd come from her surgery. Would I have? Because in that house I met somebody who had cancer, very briefly. I was just here for 2 days.
You were here for 2 days?
Yeah.
Really? That was sometime in January, 3 years ago. You wouldn't have been here in January. Or December. December, and I was in London.
I've come here in January by train in the snow with my willies. Maybe, yeah. I have.
Uh-huh. I was in England at the time. I was in England. She left her body as I was, the same day as I was coming back.
Maybe somebody had a gynecological cancer. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. There's Radha Kund. She's next door. She's
here. Well, I haven't met her yet. No,
but you know her.
Yes, yes. But she has breast cancer.
Yeah, and I mean, she was, you know, how much energy she had before, and it's like she's running out 5%. I don't know if I'd want to live like that. 5%. I'm already running on 50%.
I don't believe that.
50% of 20 years ago, definitely.
Okay. I'm running on 50%.
Definitely, definitely in my age.
I have to run on 50%.
This is fun.